I am very, very keen to be right at the center of what God is doing. I've got a word I was preparing. Sometimes I know clearly ahead of time what we're going to speak on, and so I know, for instance, in the next couple of months, we're going to do a series of things that different to what we've ever done on finance, and I am super excited about it. I think it's going to revolutionize people's lives, and talking about finance from a biblical point of view. And some of you that have been around the church world for a while, you might think, here we go, the pastor's just going to talk about tithes and offerings and giving. And that's part of it, but it's actually mostly not about that. And here's Felicia. And so come on in, sister. She's been away. It's great to have her back. Is that her? Yeah. Hey, Felicia. Hmm? She's all right? Oh, it's okay? All right, never mind. People will take care of it. And so we're going to talk about the whole gamut of finance and how you approach life, what mindset you have towards life, which includes finance, and will be just really refreshing. So I'm very excited about that. But I wanted to, I was preparing yesterday. I went for a walk and pray, which I usually do most days. And yesterday and sometimes it happens this way, where I just have a real sense of what God's going to say the next day. And sometimes it's like, I was praying, but I was really preaching. So I have to be careful where I am. I have to find a, you know. And I started talking about things that I knew I was going to talk to you about today. And so it's just interesting how it works. But my subject today, I really just want to talk about what I feel like is the current voice, or the current word of the Lord for us, if I can put it that way. The current word of God for us. And that's important because God is speaking. And I think Romans 10:17 it is, that says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. A lot of you know that verse, yeah? But I want you to notice that it says faith comes by hearing, not by having heard. And sometimes we have trouble sometimes in the church discerning the difference between what is a truth. And the Bible is full of truth that God wants in our lives, and that gets established in our lives. And if you follow the Lord for a while, you'll have certain truths over certain years and decades where God, by His Spirit, emphasized certain things. And you have certain truths built in your life. There's a difference. Those are important, but there's a difference between that and what God is saying right now. God is emphasizing right now. And faith comes by hearing what God is saying. Again, in Hebrews, Jesus, there's three occasions where in the early part of the book of Hebrews it says, let him who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. And the Spirit of God is not saying the same thing to the churches this year as He was last year. Even though there's certain truths, are you with me? And so it's really important to understand what some would call current truth. What is God emphasizing? Because you could preach 1,000 different things out of the Bible and they could all be biblically true. But some of them will have what I would call grace or anointing or a sense of the touch of God on them, because they are in line with what He's saying now, and others of them won't have much anointing on them or oil on them, even though they're still true. Can you understand what I'm saying? And it's really important. So my heart, my mandate, if you like, one of the most important things every week that I go through is to get in my spirit clear what I sense that the Lord is saying to the church in general around the world, and then to our church. And obviously those two intersect a lot. But I want to know, because there are some, I'm conscious of all kinds of other ministries. I've been around for a long time. I watch and look for certain things in ministry and in life. One of them is the integrity and the character, the Christ-likeness. One of them is you know, just preaching the word instead of somebody, just your opinion. But one of them is what is God currently doing? What's God saying right now? What's got some kind of oil or anointing on it? Or you sense the presence of God on something. And we need, I think the church world needs to become more familiar with that. I think that sometimes, see, if I'm a true minister, then my heartbeat is for your success, your great life, your fulfilling God's call for your life, your expansion as a person, your growth, your joy, your breakthrough. So in Esther's case, you know, right now where you've got this pain, that's that. My job is to connect with God in some way that I can, because I'm called to do that, and to bring healing from God in that situation. But then for other people, that's not obviously what everybody needs. You see, but if that's really my heart, then I have to be conscious, not just to build people on a truth from decades ago, if you like, but to catch what God's heart is for people right now, because it's a relationship, you see, and we all know that. Maybe that'll be a better way to explain. See, when you meet Jesus, it's a relationship. You meet with someone. And he walks with you. And so, like, and it's kind of similar. Like, I'm married to Caroline. We walk together, you know, and we have a relationship. And I need to hear what she's saying, like, now. For me to think that our relationship is going somewhere when I haven't actually communicated heart to heart for 5 years, but, you know, whatever. Like, I told you I love you when you know, I told you I love you when I marry you. And if I change my mind, I'll let you know. You know what I mean? It can be, legally there's a relationship there, but there's, and sometimes it's like that for Christians, where they've got it, technically they've got a relationship, but it's that sense of God speaking every day, and that voice of God, and being involved in the church is a big part of that. Church life, church activity, because there is the church, the guy in the Old Testament who put his head on the rock, who is that? Jacob, who woke up, you know, and it was like, and the word of the Lord there was that this is the gate, this is the gate of heaven. Remember that? And it's like that. Church has got to be like the gate of heaven, where the gate of heaven opens and stuff pours out. So today we see, like, whatever, 280 out of 300. In terms of the, and that's not like God's falling short. That's, you know, that's like, I want to do better. You know what I mean? But that's something that comes out of heaven. And that doesn't happen the same way by yourself as it does in the congregated group of people. And so that was really what was in my heart, is just to emphasize how important it is to catch what God is saying. And I wanted to just talk about a few things that I think are what God is saying to our church now. Would that be all right? And I hear the same drumbeat in other places around the world that I look at and watch and see. And so I've got, I think, 4 or 5 different things I'm going to mention. And then we're going to keep things running pretty tight, just so you know. And I want to do a little deal with you, okay? My deal is, see, I want to reach just everyone I possibly can in Staines. And, you know, I don't mind if they're believers or not believers. I don't mind if they're Muslims or Buddhists, or I don't mind. Or atheists. Yeah, I just don't mind. I just want to reach people, because this is what I've discovered. God loves people so much. And most of people's problems are rooted in the fact that they don't know that he loves them so much. And sometimes religion is the biggest problem. And, you know, we've seen that in the news this week, haven't we? Things that are done in the name of God, but there's no love there. And the Bible said God is love. You know, so, but we've got an opportunity. And if we believe that we've got the love of God in our hearts, and I believe we have, then we've got to share that with every single person we possibly can, you see. So that's in my heart. And so one of the things we're doing is just going to adjust our Sunday morning services and run them really tight and be completely finished by 12 o'clock sharp. I think it's a good idea. Now you heard me say it here live, right? So you got to be praying for me. You got to help me here. Because once I get going, you know, and you're just as bad because you keep egging me on. You keep encouraging me. So it's probably really your fault. But anyway, I want to do that for a couple of reasons. One is that it keeps us valuing people's times well. But we've also got to remember, if I'm trying to reach every single, if we as a group are trying to reach everyone we can, not everyone is used to a what we would call charismatic style, 1 3/4 hour long service with 40 minutes of worship, and not everybody is used to that. And so I've got to, and we've got to as a team, work with church in a way that meets the needs of God's people, but also effectively reaches people who wouldn't normally come to church. Otherwise, they're going to come to something, potentially, that's 1 hour and 45 minutes long, and then there's coffee and tea, and they might actually quite enjoy it. But that's a pretty big commitment to make on a Sunday morning when you normally are lying in bed reading a newspaper. And we have to be intelligent about how we reach guys like that. Do you know what I mean? You can't just go to somebody who's 45 years old, who works at BP, who earns £65,000 a year, is raising their kids, and they're busy, and they probably on Saturday they're running around with football with their children or tennis or whatever it is, and then on Sunday they come to church and we expect them to be there right on 10:30, and they're probably going to get out by the time we've had a cup of tea at 1 o'clock, and we're going to say, oh, and we'd like you to do that every week. You've got to think about how that really impacts people. And I'm going to talk, actually, this is one of my 5 points. But so we're going to do that. Is that all right? So, but this is my deal. If I do that, if I hold to that part of the deal, this is what I want you to do. I want you to make sure you're here in the building by 10:25. Is that a good idea? Okay. How many people think they can do that?
I can do that.
No, I love it. I reckon you can do it. And honestly, I think it would make a lot of difference. And I'll tell you this, just let me throw this in on the side, because I'm not a guilt monger person. I'm not like that. I love people and I understand stuff happens and parking and family and weather and whatever. But I do think that the Lord comes to meet with us here at Greater Life Church. And if you had an appointment with the Queen and she said be at Buckingham Palace at 10:30 and you rolled in at 10:45, you may or may not get your appointment. And I think that God is more important than the Queen. I like the Queen, and we pray for the Queen, but you know what I'm saying? So I just think that let's try and do that as a church. Let's really encourage one another. So at 10:25, we're all here. William and Doris, they're on that door. They're going to be welcoming you, and then we're going to seat you. And, man, if we can get this house full like this, because there are visitors every week, and they're going to keep coming. And the Lord spoke to me about that. Good people are going to keep coming. And I'm excited about that. So we have to put out more chairs and all that. But if we can, I just think it'd be good for the Lord and good for us to write a tent. So at 10:30, bang, the band's off, the place is full, and we're just rocking. Good idea? So that's a contract. So now I've got about 15 minutes left, okay? So that's my deal with you. Okay, let me talk to you then about things that I feel like are really the word of the Lord for us. So that's what we're talking about. Number one, I sense this in our church, that there's this sense of that we need to keep living with intention and focus, or what I would call a passion and a focus. So I think that it's that sense of we are here to do something. Now, I've got this little term that I'm called grace-filled urgency, because sometimes the church can lose urgency. And we can't afford to do that, because every week there are people that die. Every week there are people that miss an opportunity to meet with God. Every week there's somebody out there we can touch. Do you know what I mean? And we can't be God's people and just go to sleep on that. And you can't just say, okay, well, at Christmas or at Easter we're going to have a big special service and we'll invite them then. No, the people are just too valuable. And so, but grace-filled urgency means this, because sometimes you can be urgent in an intense way that's kind of unpleasant and it wears you out. Whereas grace-filled urgency, that I use that term because I want the presence of God in it. So I'm going through my day, my Monday, my Tuesday, my Wednesday, and I'm every day I'm focused that there are people to reach, that there's a church that's being built here, that God's got something for me to do, and I'm focused on it. I don't let myself get too distracted and end up wasting my time on things that don't matter. But yet I'm not walking around all intense and, you know, I'm looking for the anointing of God. There's a sense of rest on my life. So when I go to Sainsbury's, I'm not all, where's somebody I can talk to? Like that, you know? I've got the presence of God in me. But I'm pretty ready if someone comes along. I'm looking. Is there someone that's ill there? Would today be a good idea just to say hi or just ask, you know, could the Lord some, or you know, help somebody get their stuff to the car or phone somebody? You know, we will all have people that we think, you know, I need to phone them and I haven't for a while. We've all got that. And you know, I can tell you exactly when you're going to phone them. When you finally make up your mind that it's got to be done. That's when. And we think sometimes it's like, well, God will prompt me and whatever and the time will come. And sometimes years go. I'm not talking about cluttering your days full. I'm talking about just making sure that I live with a sense of focus. Because you matter. Today matters. And I feel like right now God is doing something important, significant in our church, in our town of Staines. You know, Carrie mentioned we hooked up... we're friends with John Miller. John Miller's a good guy. He leads the Baptist church down here. But he has got such a heart for all the churches in the region. And he carries that. So I went down with him there and there's a small group of us really. And people and ministers and people and just to pray together for all the churches in Staines and for the whole town. And, you know, there is ecumenicalism, that you might know that word, which doesn't work oftentimes because it's everybody trying to kind of get on the same page and they all have their different beliefs and stuff. But when you have someone that's got some kind of anointing on their life to do that, that's a different thing. And it's a blessing from God to have that sense of unity that's going to help all of us. And so we're excited about that, you know, and feel like God is visiting us in Staines, and he sent us here, you know, and Val's testimony last week spoke about that. So to live number one with this sense of intention and focus, a grace filled urgency. That's one thing. The second thing that I think is really important, and I see this all around the world as well, is that church is very deliberately engaged with the community. Now we have, you know, me personally, I've been a minister for 23 years or something like that, and in a full-time paid kind of capacity, and that's a real shift that I've seen take place in my lifetime of ministry, where 20 years ago the concept of church was very much about this great meeting, you know, and the man of God and all that kind of stuff, and there are certain aspects of that that are okay. But engagement with the community, what some people would term, you'll hear this term around the place, missional church, which means that we've got a mission, we're out there touching people. And what that means is that in all that we do, not just organized, but just in our lives, that we're conscious that we're reaching people. Because one of the best things we can do, obviously, is to invite people into the house and give them a great experience of God's goodness in church on a Sunday morning. But not everyone's going to do that. And so we still have to carry his love and carry his messages. And there's got to be this sense about us. So it's when Jesus talks about salt and light. He says, you're the salt and you're the light. So you can't just keep all the light in here, you know, and then expect everybody just to look and say, yeah, I'm going there. That'll happen for some. And the more of the glory of God that comes on us, the more it'll happen. But we have to be people that from Monday to Saturday see ourselves in our jobs, in our studenting, in our shopping, in our neighbors, in our community. We see ourselves being salt and light to them. So we're bringing some of it. Sometimes it could be a prophetic kind of word, though you don't have to say, thus says the Lord. But you might have, you know, especially as you pray, you might have something on your heart for your neighbor. And you might say, you know, are you all right? You know, I've just been feeling. And, you know, depending on who the person is, you can gauge how to connect with people. I just really had you on my heart. You okay? I remember being at Williams not so long ago. He put on a kind of a thing on Saturday morning, which was fun. And one of your neighbours came along. And that's just great to be actively connecting with people and to see yourself that way. And I think that is an important aspect of what the Lord is doing in our lives. Missional church, we're salt and life. So it's a lifestyle. One of the things that's important about that is the whole issue of testimony and how we've encouraged that, and you'll see it up on the ads, and Carrie will promote that as well, because of the value of your story. And so in life groups recently, or connect groups recently, we've done that, where people are just tell a little bit about your story. Because what I do in speaking in front of people and ministering in that way, that's got its place in the church, and it's important. But it's not everything. There are some people that are not going to really be impacted until, you know, Esther Benson sits down with them on Tuesday at lunchtime and says, you know, this hand, you know how this hand's been bad? Well, you know, I was in church, and the lady she's talking to mightn't know whether I'm Buddhist or whatever, and it almost doesn't matter, except it does matter. You know what I'm saying? But the point is, she's got a testimony, a story, and it's like, this happened. She'll say, well, it's, you know, it's Jesus, and it's God did this, and it's the power of God, and it's, and we've all got stuff. You may feel like, well, I haven't been healed for months, you know. But you've got other stuff God has done. Dig around on the inside. Find out what God has done for you. That's one of the things we're doing with the Connect groups. And just to say, you know, with this month of kind of Selah, one of our little ads that some of the letters disappeared, so it didn't quite work. But Selah, you know, that doesn't. We want to encourage you to be connecting. So the Connect group leaders, Lou and Owen and others, they'll probably be in touch with you, organizing some kind of get together, some kind of barbecue. But we want to. We want it to be kind of less formal, so the formal meetings are off, so we don't feel like that level of demand. Do you know what I'm saying? I just wanted to throw that in there because Owen and Chrissy are pretty good at hospitality, so, and that could be fun. We've got a whole bunch of good people around. Amen. So we're going to do that. Number three, and I want to speak just a little out of what David McCracken was saying. That was significant. David McCracken was here. How many of you are here? So good. He's a prophet guy and a recognized prophet in his 60s in Australia, and been involved in ministering there for decades. And he came here, and we were blessed to be able to get him to come on a Wednesday night. And you know, you can get a copy, if you see Lucille, you can get a copy of the message that he brought to us. But it was really, he couldn't really get to teach on anything because he felt like it was the word of the Lord in his heart for our church. That's what he had to share. And so he talked a little bit about a few things that I want to make reference to. One of them, that when we look to the future, we shouldn't be planning it according to the past. Now, I think that's important, because I think God is wanting to do something new. And so in our mindsets, we have to feel like, well, whatever's gone is gone, but there's a future there that's awesome. And it was tied into this thought, and he kind of spoke over my life about that, because I've been here for 16 years, and he said, well, I hope I'm not being too personal, but he said, you know, when you came here, you came with certain dreams and visions, and some of them have come to pass, but some haven't. And the Lord is saying to you that those things are very much alive. And that's important too. And it was like, and his whole premise, the premise of his message was Jeremiah chapter something or other, which was where the Lord, word of the Lord came to Jeremiah a second time. And it was because the word of the Lord had come the first time, it was very clear. In Jeremiah 1, I think it's verse 5, it's a phenomenally clear call from God. But Jeremiah, certain things in life had happened, and he got to this place in life where the word of the Lord needed to come a second time to remind him of what he told him the first time, which was that there are certain things I've called you to do and I'm going to bring them to pass. So I think it's very important that we see like a whole new season ahead of us, which we can see anyway. How many people feel like that anyway? Feel like there's kind of a new season in front of us anyway, you know? But that was really important that we not do that according to the past. And he spoke a little about Gideon, and I wanted to touch on that because he mentioned this one word in describing it that I think works in with that point I made about focus and passion. He spoke about Gideon, and he talked about how Gideon had, you know, obviously had taken this whole, I think the Amalekites, in a warfare situation, and God had called him and said, "Right, this is your vision." And then he had gathered people together, and he had, I think, 32,000 people. Everyone say 32,000. 32,000. And God said to him, "It's too many." And kind of what David McCracken was saying to us was, it's not about numbers, it's about hearts. And that everything you need to do, the dreams, the visions, it's here. And I believe that. We've got to see it the right way. And so these 32,000, he said, look, first of all, anyone who's afraid, if they're afraid, let them go. And so 22,000 left. That's a bad deal. So you got 10,000 left. And because they were afraid, you see. And I think it's important that we steel our hearts and learn not to be afraid. Because it's like a word of the Lord for us. There is something coming and we have to be ready for it. And it's not about massive numbers in terms of bottoms on seats. It's in terms of a great victory that is to be won in this area of stains. Amen? And so he got to 10,000 and God said to him, still too many. And he said, now this, and some of you know the story. He said, this is what I want you to do. Send them all down to get a drink from the river. So 10,000 people go down to get a drink. And out of those 10,000, 9,700 all just stuck their mouths in the water and drunk like that. And 300 cupped the water in their hands and brought it up to their mouth. And the better interpretation, certainly what David McCracken, the word he used was vigilance. He said the 300 that did that, and they were the 300 that were chosen that end up winning the victory, never lost vigilance. See, when you stick your head down like this, you're unaware. You're in a battle, but you could get hit from anywhere. But when you're like this, you're still watching. And that spirit of vigilance, that's important. Not in an intense way, but in an awareness that you are part of something that God's anointing to effectively impact this community, and there's a job to do. Amen? And that God's got this dream for us. It's awesome. So I feel like that's important as far as the word of the Lord for us goes. And then the fourth thing. I'm doing pretty good for time here, folks. Yeah. Are you impressed? The fourth thing, and this is an important one. This is in my heart. This is really important for our church, is that to build in our Christian lives an understanding that answers for life will tend to come through a steady, wisely built, well-built life over a period of time rather than a kind of instant miracle solution lifestyle. Let me explain what I mean. Wisdom is what builds a great life. And sometimes we have been so excited about faith and we've been so excited about... You good? Yeah. Do you just need to attend to something out there? Quick. Yep. And we've been... Stay with me, folks. I'm more important than the delivery. And sometimes we've been so excited about faith, you see, and we've trained ourselves to live a lifestyle, Christian lifestyle of faith where everything depends on the miraculous. And I don't think that's what God is doing. Now, I've built faith in my life over many period of years. But, you see, God didn't design your life to run out of money and then I'm trusting God and we have an instant miracle and a check in the mail. And then I'm sick all the time. And then, oh, God gives me an instant healing. And then my marriage is on the rocks and everything's under pressure. Oh, my God, I've got to praise the 11th hour. God always comes through the 11th hour. And then there's an instant. And so you have this lifestyle. And we've almost thought that's like, for some of us, it's like the normal Christian lifestyle. It's not. We should be building strong, steady lives. See, wisdom is steady. You see, God wants to, so with finance, for instance, in that area, and I will talk a little more about finance in the months ahead, in the next little while. But for finance, you see, what you want to do, the way you should approach it, is that this year you have, for argument's sake, if your income is $22,000, then you deal right before the Lord with that. Tithes, offerings, savings, whatever, you use your money wisely. And then next year it might be $25,000. And in 10 years, when maybe you've got kids or grandkids or whatever, and maybe the income's $50,000 or $60,000, and so you've got this building of wealth over time. Steady, piece by piece. Are you with me? That's much more the emphasis of the Lord in terms of what he's doing in the churches than a kind of instant miracle. That's not to say we don't have miracles. I mean, we had miracles here in the building this morning. You with me? But there's this sense that God is wanting to build your life. See, sometimes people, like, they're in faith, they're like, they don't want to go to uni for 5 years because, you know, well, God's called me and I've got to do this and I've got to do that. And I do understand that, and I appreciate the importance of the call of God, and I want you to run strong for God. But you also want to build intelligently for the future. You want to think carefully about your life. You want to plan your life well. You want to think about the... Well, we just got married and so we'll probably have kids just whenever. One child, £200,000 of income going to cost you in 20 years and lots of heartache and pain as well as a wonderful opportunity. But be smart. Amen? And, God's with me. God spoke to me. I'm going, no. You've got to be strategic as well as inspired. Are you with me? Same with family. Just building, because the church is a long-term proposition. You know, so we've got to think the same way about Staines. We don't have our own building right now. We will do one day. It's not the biggest priority in the world, but it would be a good thing. But what's important is we start looking after 2, 3, 4, 5 children now. But in a year, that could be 10 children. If you don't, and then in a year later, it could be 20 children. And instead of, see, sometimes the Pentecostal or Spirit-filled church has been like, instant miracle, you know, revival, bang, there was nobody there, and all of a sudden there was 1,000 people, and it's, you know, and that's a nice thing, but that's the exception rather than the rule. And sometimes in the Christian world, you still have people that are kind of, they're looking for revival. Is this a revival? Well, I studied revival more than most people for decades in Australia, and I've got multiple notes on it and taught in a Bible college in Australia on it a lot. And I'm fairly au fait with, and I love it. I love that whole thing. But I know that you shouldn't model revival in terms of an instant bang as the normal Christian lifestyle. You know, what you're going to have to do is get up in the morning at 7:30 and go and catch that train and deal with your husband's bad breath and, you know, whatever. Get the kids up when they don't get up early and get over the fact that you locked yourself out accidentally over the keys. And you know what I mean? And build the joy of God into your life in all those circumstances. You with me? Instead of having a kind of a rubbishy, falling apart along the side of the road life from Monday to Saturday, and then Sunday we're going to have revival, you know. Now, God, it's a 7-day-a-week deal. Does that make sense? All right, I've got to move on. Was that number 4? Number 5. I want to talk and I'm closing. The church is both a brilliant Sunday gathering and 7 days a week. And I think that's really, really important. You know, I can't tell you, when I see, you know, Esther, and not to discount Doris here or Larry, I didn't this morning particularly have any plan to lay hands on people, minister to people for healing. But when you see people healed like that, and you know their face is like shocked, and they holding back the tears. It's like it's wonderful. You know what I mean? When you care about people, it's like, oh wow, that is so great. And whether that happens, or whether I'm saying some words or something that just make people feel lifted, like, yeah, I can, God really is with me. I know for you spiritual giants out there, you don't have any doubt about that. But for some of us, you know, people just go through life. And the Bible makes it very clear when it's talking to us as ministers, leaders, it says, you know, you've got to support the weak. You've got to comfort the downtrodden. You've got to... people are in different stages in life. And so what happens on Sunday is really significant. And I don't... And I think we're aware of that. But I'm also aware of this, that in the old... What I would call the old days, when I was a young minister and starting out, and we would... You know, the idea of the meeting was everything. Sunday meetings would go 2.5, 3 hours... We'd always be laying hands on people. They'd be falling over all over the place. It's wonderful. And I don't want to go back to that because, not because it wasn't a great thing, but because I don't think it's what God is saying right now today. You've got to be hearing what God, you know what I mean? And you've got new wine, you've got to put it in new wineskins. And there should be new wine, new fresh stuff flowing from heaven. And then you've got to adjust the skin to hold the wine, because if you try and put in the old one, it's only going to wreck it. It isn't going to work. And you're always going to have people that say, oh, the old one is better. You're always going to have that. But see, my ultimate answering, even though I do answer to the people of God in some ways, but my ultimate answering is to God. And I can't afford to get to the end of my life and say, well, the people really liked me, you know, and I cared about them and I preached the Bible. He'll say, did you discharge the duty I gave you? Did you bring the words to the people that I, from heaven, told you to bring? That's what I've got to do. And very often, not too much, but very often there are aspects of doing that that aren't that popular with people. Because God's wanting to take people where they aren't now. But hopefully if there's a heart of love in the leader and in the minister, then the people feel that and then they'll go in that direction. Because God has more for us than what we have now, but we don't get there by repeating some old pattern or using some old cliche that might be the word of the Lord, but isn't, or might be the Bible, but it isn't the word of the Lord for today. Are you with me? So Sundays is not, but 7 days a week. And so we're seeing this Acts chapter 2 kind of church life develop where people are phoning one another, texting one another, Facebooking one another, visiting one another, catching up, and during the week from Monday to Saturday. And it doesn't all have to be formalized meetings, but I really want it to be something that we're, for us, the Lord is the most important thing. You know what I mean? So I don't mind if you're catching up, you say, I saw this movie, it was great, you know, whatever. But if you never, if you meet with other people of God, or you're Facebooking with other people of God, or you're doing whatever socially, and you never actually talk about Jesus at all, you never actually talk about how good God was or how good church is, or then I'm kind of thinking, you need to make an adjustment there, because we want his life to be big in us all during the week, you know what I mean? And so that's important. And I feel like this, and I'm closing with this thought, you see, with church, the answers that God wants to bring, and you can see it in the New Testament church, the answers that God wants to bring in your life are not going to come just by you being a prayer and a Bible reader. They're going to come in the community of God's house, because we're living stones built together. And there are some things that somebody else in the house... See, we had this idea that everybody, well, I'm a priest to God, and you are. And so God can speak to me, and God's anointed me, and I'm strong, and the word of the Lord, and all that. And that's all good, but that's a part of the picture. There's another part of the picture that God's building a body, and that if you're an elbow, you can't be a heart as well. And sometimes we all think we've all got to be everything, but actually you don't. And there are people in the house that the relationship you develop, especially if it's built around the importance of Jesus, you know, the relationships that build, getting into other people's lives, that brings something into your life that you reading the Bible and praying are not. And sometimes people are like avid Bible readers and prayers, but there are still things that are not clicking. It's because the body is important and that we as a church do life together. Does that make sense? I'm done. I'm closing. I'm finished. Oh, it's 1 minute past. So I'll...